makes us hungry for Him and to dig into His Word and maybe sing a few songs ourselves to the Lord throughout the week. And this morning, thinking about His call on our lives in regards to missions. And if you could pray with me, the title of the sermon, Lord, May I Participate in Missions, and to see that as a privilege. Because God's message of missions always causes my soul to do a lot of searching. And I ask, where am I at in my relationship to Christ and my following Him, knowing He has missions on His heart? Is it on my heart? And I begin to think, well, who am I that I should hear the gospel as a teenager? You know, someone was praying for me. Somebody gave so that the message could go forth, and I got to hear the message. I could have been born in an isolated place in Asia where there was no gospel around. I could have been born in the middle of Africa somewhere where Christian radio did not extend or the scriptures were not there. And where would I be then? But God was gracious to you and I to be able to tell us about His Son. And He continues that work all around us. So I'll tell you just some of the things of what the Lord says to us about missions in His Word and how it made an impact on my life and continues to do so. First of all, I discovered rather early following Christ that missions was not a foreign exchange program. You probably had foreign exchange students in your school if God blessed you in that way. And I know we did. My senior year in high school, we had a foreign exchange student from Pakistan. His name was Posma. Posma from Pakistan. I don't know if I ever learned his last name or not. But he was a delightful fella, and everybody liked Posma. Sometimes he would dress like the people do in Pakistan, learn about the different food that they ate. And boy, what a time to grow and get some education, you know. And we asked him questions that showed our ignorance. Posma, how big are the snakes in Pakistan? Do you have a pet cobra? You know, and only because we didn't know, we only knew a little bit about Pakistan. And that was a blessing, but Christian missions is not primarily about one culture learning about another culture. That is good. That shows the creativity of God as our creator. He doesn't make everybody to look like us and speak like us and do like us. Not every country lives like an American, right? Praise the Lord. And so Christian missions is not about just foreign exchange ideas. Christian missions is about taking the news of Christ, God taking the news of Christ to every nation, because He loves all the people, and He's committed to doing that through even you and I. So the Lord's a missionary Savior to all the world. And if we were to look in the New Testament, we'd see He's committed to doing that from Genesis to Revelation, and particularly in the Gospels, as we see who Jesus went to as a Savior, being a missionary Savior. The first group of people He went to, you know who that was? That was His own people, the Jewish people. And if you know anything about Jewish history or the Jewish people, you know they were not the most popular group of people at any one given time in history. They were always getting trounced on by somebody for whatever reason. And they were defeated by many world powers. At the time Jesus was born, they were under the control of a foreign government, the Roman government. They were a defeated people who did not know the Lord very much at all. They had His law, they had His history, but they did not have a heart relationship, many of them, with God Himself. And you could just picture in eternity past, as God the Father and God the Son get together and say, we're going to rescue those who are lost. And you know where we're going to start? We're going to send you Jesus, and you're going to be Jewish. Whoa, can't you, you know, would you pick a bigger group of people maybe to begin to work through? No. God says He's going to go. Good news to a promise He made to a man named Abraham. God is faithful to go to those who were unlikely to receive. And so He went to the Jewish people. And who did Jesus go to after that? He went to the Gentiles. Gentiles were just plain old pagans. They knew the Jewish people. They had one God. Pagans had many gods. In our country, we basically live in a country that has many gods, many priorities, many commitments, many things will fit the Lord in there some way. That's a Gentile thing. You know, we're too good sometimes at being Gentiles. And the Jewish folks called the Gentiles the dogs. They were dogs spiritually. Didn't know anything about the one true God. And what did Jesus do in reference to the Gentiles? He went to them. He went to them. He loved them. And he dealt with their sick. And he healed folks who were in trouble. And he reached out to those who many people thought, oh, you'll never reach them. You know, you might feel like a Gentile this morning. Would God ever do anything in my life? Oh, yes. He'll come to meet you where you're at. Or friends who are around you. And Jesus went to the Gentiles. And then, of all people, Jesus went to the Samaritans. Samaritans. Now, both the Jewish folks and the Gentile folks had no time for the Samaritans. They were the low people on the cultural end of things, at least in many people's minds. And once when people were trying to put down Jesus as a person, in John chapter 8, you know what they said to him? They said, we're right in saying about you, Jesus, that you have a demon and you're a Samaritan to boot. That was one of the big put-downs to be considered a Samaritan. And yet what did Jesus do to the Samaritans, who nobody had the time of day for? He went to be with them. Share with them news about himself. In fact, one of the best stories he ever told about neighbor helping a neighbor in need, loving your neighbor, he makes a Samaritan the hero of the story. The parable of the Good Samaritan. So the point we get from missions is this. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Even you and me, the song says. And he came because he knew no one would even get to the Father but by him. He was the only one to bring about the rescue mission that would happen. And when you think about your life and my life and Jesus' commitment to missions, isn't Jesus for the underdog in the Scriptures? And you know who the underdog is? Spiritually, that's you and me. We live in a world that's fallen, a world that has evil in it. There's evil in our own hearts. We've been taken captive by sin. We hear stories today of terrorists taking people captive, you know, it's such a sad thing. And they say, give us this and we're not going to let them go. And you wonder if people are going to come out alive. You know, in this world of sin, you know what has happened? Because of the devastation of sin in creation, we live in a world, and it's a sobering thought, none of us gets out of here alive. Not a one. And Jesus sees that. What does he do? He says, oh, well, just wait a minute. I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone dies, he who believes in me will live. So he is for those who are the spiritual underdogs. That's you and I. And if you see yourself that way, you would be well to put your trust in him this morning if you feel apart from him or feel under condemnation in any way. Well, he came not to condemn, but to save. He is your Savior. No one will have peace without him, he said. And that's the story of missions. And he comes and intervenes. You know, he loves everybody on planet Earth. There's 6.5 billion people on planet Earth. And sometimes the number of people we love, we say, well, we'll start with 2 or 3, you know, or 6 dozen. That's a beginning. Christ loves each one. And he wants to give his heart of missions to our heart. So we catch what he's up to. He not only was a Savior to the world, but he recruits us to join him in passing on the good news. He says this, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Wow, I don't know about you. I don't like to be sent sometimes. I like to stay where I'm at. And many times in regards to the message of missions, if you're like me, you have to overcome some personal hurdles to get involved in God's missionary work, his call on our lives. We have to overcome limitations of our own gifts, our own personalities, our own interests, our own selfishness. And if I share a little bit that you might be helped to see that God can overcome those things. When I first became a pastor many years ago, one of the requirements that was given to me was taking a test for a whole day, 8 hours of psychological testing. They tried to figure out your personality, you know. And they said, after this 8 hours, we'll tell you your strengths and weaknesses. And I thought I knew what they were, but if they wanted to test me and agree with me, that's terrific. I thought, you do anything to get ordained, right? I mean, that's the goal. So the time was helpful. But one of the things they told me was this. They said, you know, in this section of the test, it shows that there's two areas you could be strong in. You could be an adventurer and really go get out of your comfort zone and do things you're not used to doing. Or you could be a homebody. Like things just so. Used to staying in certain protected areas. They said, for homebody, out of 10, you scored a 10. And for adventurer, you scored a 1. You're a 1. And they tried to be helpful, you know, and say, well, you'll sure be a stable pastor, you know. Tried to make it very good. But I went away downhearted because I heard in my ears the words of Jesus, go and make disciples. And I hear the words of Jesus saying, you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And I thought, oh, what am I getting into? And the Lord has his hands full trying to disciple me in his mission's work. But I have found this, being a homebody. When I hear about God's work of taking the gospel to other people, particularly overseas missions, it catches my heart in an unexpected manner. I think, I could get to know these missionaries and pray for them. I could do that. I can give so that they can get the work done where I particularly may not go personally. I could do that faithfully. And I find myself praying for them. And me a homebody, they win me over to God's mission work. Because I see it's important to them. Because it's important to the Lord, it becomes important to me. And I am privileged as a homebody to be a part of God's missionary endeavor. And so thankful that we could be a part of seeing people come to Christ in Germany. Not a lot of gospel news being passed around in Germany. But the faithful small churches are doing it. In Spain, the same thing. Paraguay, Iraq, people coming to Christ. And when the Lord speaks through his word, because that's his priority, and through missionaries, the Lord wins me over to what he's up to. And when you think about it, it's great to be a part of something that cannot be stopped. Did you ever want to be a part of something that was going to succeed? I'll join up for that team for sure. Did you know missions is bound to succeed? Under God's commitment to people around the world. Jesus said, the gospel of who he was and the kingdom of God would be preached to all the nations. And then the end shall come. And I think, wow, I am so thankful. I get to be a part of that. What God is doing. It's important to him. And so it's important to you and I. Eugene Peterson put Christian missions this way. And you think about the momentum that taking the gospel has to people. Just the spring in the step some of the men had Friday night as they saw some men here who maybe didn't know the Lord. It gets a fire in your soul to join God in what he's up to. Eugene Peterson said this, not indifference, not doubt, not guilt can put out the fire of God's love for people working through us. Not our indifference, not our personality bent, not doubt or not guilt, just feeling bad about it, won't put out the fire of God's love for people working in us. So missions has to do with God's glory. What a great he brings glory to himself through all peoples of the earth. And we get to be a part of that. And I hope you see yourself as in that call from the Lord, because it is a call on your life. A call he wants you to say yes to. And being a part of missions, particularly overseas missions, may be difficult for you because we are very in the worst case analysis, we're self-centered. If Jesus would just take care of me, I'd be happier. But the point is, if I would start to begin to be concerned about others, I would be healthier. And I would be more thankful also. I remember the first overseas missionary I heard, had the opportunity to, was in my early 20s. And I went with a sense of anticipation. It was a committed gal who served in the country of Papua New Guinea. And so our church had prayed for her for years. And finally she was going to come and visit us. And oh boy, preparation and praying and everything. And I was surprised. Before she came, the pastor, because he had known her personally, knew that she was not a very good communicator. So he engineered the whole service so that she would just have a little bit of time to speak. We preachers do that sometimes. And so here she comes to share. And the time together, she was physically hurting. She didn't have a lot of physical health. She spoke very softly. Sometimes we could hardly hear her, even with a good PA system. And not a good speaker. And in spite of the time limitations, she spoke and spoke and went on and on and on. I remember sitting there, my first overseas missionary hearing, my first response, we had hard pews back in that church. My first response was, boy, did my rear end hurt. When is she going to be done? And yet, in spite of what was happening, what I came away from, both during the service and afterwards, was this. This woman loves Christ. And this woman loves the people of Papua New Guinea. In fact, I think she loves the people of Papua New Guinea more than I love my neighbors. And Jesus loves the people in New Guinea too. And suddenly, reluctantly, I found myself loving the people in Papua New Guinea because of this gal and just how she related to Christian missions. And so, how about you? Are you ready to love people through missions? Because you know Christ loves them. Do you feel in your heart the heart of Jesus? Would you wake up some morning and say, okay, Lord, here I go. I'm ready to love 6.5 billion people this morning, any way you want me to. Start with 2 or 3 where you live. Start with a country you're concerned about overseas. Start with where God will take you. One country at a time, one person at a time. And God will do a great work in you. And patiently bring you along. It's a learning thing. It's a discipleship thing. And I know that the Lord can bless you, use you in bringing the gospel to people around you and to people overseas who have not yet heard about Christ and have no chance, but that God would continue to use Christians like you and I. One early missionary who wasn't on the ball theologically but sure did love Christ and love people, named David Livingston. He was one of the first missionaries to Africa. He had these words inscribed on his tombstone. And you think about the people in your life you care about who don't know the Lord. You think about the people around the world who Christ cares about who don't know the Lord. This is what David Livingston had on his tombstone. Words of Jesus. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. Isn't that a great truth for our church to take hold of in our hearts? You look around the sanctuary and so thankful for those who are here. And you say, boy, I know these folks, I wish they were here. You know, and that's Jesus' heart saying, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And when we think of nations, Christ's heart for them so much to meet the Lord. Would you commit yourself to his missionary call in your life? He loves people, and join him in loving others through the great work of missions he calls us to. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we ask that our heart would beat with your heart this morning. And the way you see people and unchurched and people have yet to hear of you, we would catch the truth of your commitment to sharing Jesus with others. Perhaps, Lord, we would start by saying thank you that you sent the gospel to us. Where would we be without hearing good news? Some of us would be sleeping in after a hangover. Some of us would be waking up to another boring day in the kingdom of darkness. But here we are in the kingdom of your beloved Son. There's a home in heaven waiting, prepared, and Jesus as the way. And the opportunity to share with other people, we're glad to be a part of your missionary adventure. Help us have a commitment, Father. Help us be growing in our commitment to what your work is up to. And help us to rejoice as you bring in other sheep, not of the fold yet, but you know you'll bring them to pass as we participate. Give each one here a heart, Father, for your missionary call. And Father, help us to be hospitable to those who serve overseas, to love them, to join what you're doing through them. And Lord, above all, for any here this morning who would say, how can I be a missionary? As John Wesley once said, how can I convert anybody? Who's going to convert me? It's a great question, Lord. And as someone would say, Lord, who's going to convert me? Jesus, might you bring a new life about this morning, as someone would just say, Lord, I take you to be my Savior. I am lost without you. And turn my heart around to follow after you. I take you as my Savior. And be sweet to us today, Father, as we continue to worship and as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.